morning, you people.
Welcome.
Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. You know what? We're going to dispense with all of the goofy talk that occurs here at the very top of the show.
Goofy.
The chit-chat, idle chit-chat.
It was really meaningful. I liked it.
Yeah.
It didn't mean that much to you, apparently.
We have a man who stepped into the studio who just left the most comfortable chair in the building in our office. And we woke him up and we brought him in here. He is Mr. Jeff Garlin. You know him, you love him from the Goldbergs and, of course, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's now the richest man in Hollywood because the Goldbergs have basically
not on. What, there I am. Okay,
have basically made you you're the king. You're the titan.
I am. Hey, you know what? I got to be honest with you. It's not all right. Here's the thing. It used to be that if you were on a hit network series, you're loaded forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I make some really good money, but not like it was.
Yeah. Why is that? What's changed?
The viewership has gone down of network television. And in terms of something going into syndication, it's not the same money. It's still high, you know what I mean? But it's all gone down. You know, I think when we're done, when all is said and done, at the end of a week between who watches the Goldbergs, who watches it like in replay, the DVR, right, and who watches it online, 7-8 million people. Back in the day, I love that statement. That means you're old. if 7-8 million, you're canceled. And 7-8 million for us, they're doing jigs. We're one of the most watched half hour sitcoms on television. Like, we're the number one that families watch together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it was, isn't it funny? I mean, right? I mean, it was like he's Full House now. Is basically what he is. But it is amazing. First of all, it's a great show. It really
it is
a great
good show.
It's smart. I always tell the story when he's in studio. His mother came up to me in a restaurant and said, "My son, you know him. My son, he's got this show coming out. It's called The Goldbergs." This is like in 2013, right? Or 20, yeah. And it's going to be great. And it's about this family. And it's going to be beautiful. And you're going to love it. And you're going to talk to him about it. And I said, "The Goldbergs? What is he thinking?" And, you know.
I love that. What's your thought?
Right.
And by the way, I'm one of the people that pushed for the name The Goldbergs.
Oh, good.
You know who decided they wanted that was the network said, you should call it The Goldbergs. Uh-huh. The name of the show originally was What's Wrong With My Blankety Life. And I thought that's the lamest name I've ever heard. And then I talked to Adam Goldberg, who created the show, and Doug Robinson, the other producer. They're Jewish. And I said, let's dive in the Jew pool. Come on, man. Don't stick your toe in. Let's be the Goldbergs.
Why not?
And ironically, I'm one of the only Jews on the show.
Yes, that is.
My wife's not Jewish. My children aren't Jewish, although they're all playing Jews. George Siegel's a Jew. So I'm the only,
As Harvey Korman said in Blazing Tales, too Jewish.
Too Jewish, yeah.
And I'm
on the two biggest Jewish shows, which that occurred to me a few years back, Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Goldbergs are the two biggest. That's how people get their Jews in America.
Right. That's actually, half the guys in that Charlottesville rally had Larry David posters as they were running down the street. Too soon? All right. So it is, I got to tell you though, but both, or I think that Curb is the funniest half hour ever.
It's outrageous.
On television. But the Goldbergs, you know, for a family sitcom, it's got bite, it's edgy, there's moments.
No, it's,
performances are spectacular.
Well, you're very kind. I'm honored to be on the show. And,
But you said that the network salary, I mean, so if network TV is going down, but what I keep reading in the trades is that the Netflix possibilities are creating bank for celebrities to go
as much for bank. Well, first off, celebrities
there are some big names. I mean, look.
No, but that's not celebrities. That's successful actors.
Successful actors.
Celebrities could be the Kardashians. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
like celebrity is about fame and not about content.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But that's the thing. There is meaningful work in that.
By the way, there's meaningful work for the celebrities too. I mean, yes. And by the way, there's money to be made. Don't get me wrong, but it's not what it was. Someone in my position would be making at this point $1 million an episode.
Uh-huh. Right.
And for sure. in the like I remember working, I was on Mad About You, and I'm not mistaken, Paul and Helen, the last few years were making $1 million an episode. Mm-hmm. And
that was a big number at NBC, right, at that moment, because because you know, Friends cast all wanted what they got.
I think Ray Romano got in at the end. Mm-hmm. Now I'm lucky, I'm getting in at the end of shows being popular enough on network television. Like, I'm on a hit sitcom. Not many people in the future are going to be able to say that.
That's true, right?
Yes.
I feel that way about radio, Jeff. That's exactly how I feel about it. I'm like, I'm the last one to go close the door.
No, but by the way, I think that that's true of music radio. Like, I did Eric's show this morning.
Eric, for example.
And they don't have a nighttime person. They just play the songs. Right. A computer does it. The whole strength of this channel is about human beings discussing things.
True.
Well, that's why the podcast won't go away. The podcast is so ridiculous. Okay, so today, mm-hmm. this is a true story. So today, I get a call from a city official who said, "Hey, I was listening to this podcast that John Cass does with our producer Jeff Carlin, no relation, and there is and he hears something on the podcast that he wants to get corrected, right?" Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there thinking, wait a second. I could literally take myself hostage here and nothing would happen. Mm-hmm. If I took myself hostage in my podcast, SWAT would show up at my house every hour on the hour until they figured it out.
Well, you're obviously exaggerating. But that being said, podcasts, if you put out something interesting, here's the thing. What's great about podcast is the same thing that's great about independent filmmaking. The difference between independent filmmaking and podcast is that a podcast has a great delivery system.
Right.
Independent filmmaking, you no longer can go in the theater. I mean, you do, but not really.
It's Netflix.
It's a little more difficult. But the point being is, technology has made it an even playing field. You have an idea, you want to do something, you can do it. So let's say you, back in the day with the big money and the bigger numbers, you went to a producer here at WGN, and you had an idea that you wanted to do a radio show about serial killers, which seems to be a lot of podcasts are about.
A lot are true crime stories.
Yes.
You're right.
And so that person would go, nah, people are not going to, you know.
Right.
Meanwhile, you put it out as a podcast, and it's immensely popular.
Right, exactly.
And they're all... Oh, is that from Law and Order? Yeah. I was once on Law and Order.
I love that show.
I played a villain. I was same night it aired, I was on Law and Order. I was a murderer and a rapist who was also a head of a movie studio. I was Law and Order, Criminal Intent, and I heard that noise when I saw it. Yes. Uh-huh. And then they play that on the set as you're getting ready. And then same night aired, I was Uncle Kelbo on Wizards of Waverly Place on Disney. So I thought to myself, somebody's out there showing their range.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, working actor, successful working actor.
Well, no, but you work hard to, you know, be good at something. I want to be known for being good, not known.
So I,
do you know what I mean?
It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you are, but you are.
You are already.
I mean, it is amazing when you watch your work. It is. Sometimes you don't see you working in Curb. Mm-hmm. That's the best part of that show is all the actors are so good. You know, you have to, like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has got to be so good that you see her playing herself and it works.
Yeah, well,
right?
she's the best there is.
The best comedian, television comedian of all times, I would say.
She's up there.
Comedic actress.
With, there's probably a handful you can say.
Right.
But I would put her up there against everyone.
Yeah.
Men too.
Yeah.
She blows my mind.
Oh.
And she's the coolest lady.
And so you have, so I mean, all you guys are doing that, and it just is so so great. Did you guys start production? Can you say that?
I finished it.
We're finished.
Yeah, we're editing now. I don't know when it's going to air. Not necessarily. Could be January. Don't know.
Okay.
But the point being is, my favorite season we've ever done.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Season 10 episodes. And I have to say, well, the thing is, the premise, you know, we always have these premises, and I think they're funny. But some of them are better than others, but they're all excellent. Don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. But this one is one that everybody Everybody has felt this frustration and wished they could do something, and Larry does it.
Yeah. It's when your dragon accidentally kills everybody in the city. And then he's got to figure out how to get out from under it.
That's what, don't get me don't started that. On that show. We don't have time for that.
All right.
I won't get to promote my Netflix special.
All right. Let's talk about your Netflix special. What are you
there's
doing?
There's no dragons. I'm doing an hour where I only talk about Game of Thrones and how upset I am. I'm filming here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the name of the special is Our Man in Chicago, and I'm filming it at Park West next Wednesday night. There's two shows, and your kind listeners, if they so choose, your smart listeners, mm-hmm. your wonderful listeners.
Yes.
That's all of them.
Where is he going?
Can choose to buy tickets and go.
You go to parkwestchicago.com.
Look at that.
For the tickets.
Or just type in Jeff Garland, Google Jeff Garland, Park West, and you're good.
You love that room, don't you?
I do.
I've seen you there a number of times.
I have too. I've seen you there.
And also, I got married there.
What?
And ironically, there's two ironics. Well, one, first off, for the record, first wedding ever at Park West 25 years ago was my wedding.
Wow.
And I'm just finishing my divorce, and I'm doing my special there. So it's quite the journey that I've taken.
That's very,
well, by the
I like
way,
the way you're closing the circle, which is nice. I like that.
And by the way, nothing bad to say about my wife.
Of course not.
In the thing. You know, well, my soon-to-be ex, seconds away, is a woman that I love, and she's the mother of my children, and so I wouldn't say anything bad about her. But what makes me think now is when I was a young comedian, mm-hmm. you know, in my 20s, and I'm watching older comedians do their stuff, and they're my ex-wife, all these bits that are so mean-spirited and angry. And now I look back, and I would laugh, you know, and now I look and I go, you had children. You're talking about their mother. What are you doing? Who does that?
That was a different time.
It was a different time. I don't think it goes the same.
But it's just so insensitive.
Yeah.
All right.
And by the way,
you want to see some sensitive comedy?
I am all for having noble targets when I do and hitting them hard. Uh-huh. So I'm not like you can't have an opinion in comedy, which is really necessary to have a strong point of view. I'm just saying that one in particular, you know.
All right, hold on 1 second.
Yes.
We got to stop here for a second because Kim Gordon is standing by. She's got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What is coming up?
Row, a documentary about the fatal shooting of Laquan McDonald, premieres in Chicago tonight.
All right, Kim Gordon coming up in just a minute in the WGN newsroom. Mr. Jeff Garlin is in the studio with us, and you know him from the Goldbergs. You know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is coming back sometime in the next calendar year, I would imagine. And he's also shooting a Netflix special on Wednesday night of next week.
The 12th,
right? So that's a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be at the Park West, which is one of the great nightclubs ever in this town.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And it just, you know, you walk into it and you feel the resonance of something.
Yes. No, it's fantastic. I love it. And I always have my choice when I come to town, when I play a bigger venue, of the Vic or Park West. And I've played the Vic. I love Park. By the way, I love the Vic. Don't get me
Vic's
wrong.
Great.
But something about the Park West, I just dig.
It's hard to find the dressing room area at the Park West. You have to almost when you leave the dressing room, you have to come through the crowd to get to the stage.
Yeah.
And I always look at that dressing room and I wonder, oh my God, what happened in here? Right? So there's, you know, you think of some of the acts that have been on their way up or on their way down that have gone through there, right? Yeah, the music acts.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh man. You can still see the residue of some of it on the couch.
Thanks for pumping me up.
Uh-huh. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Just when you sit on the couch, remember. Do you want me to send my chair over for you?
Oh, yes.
So you really love that chair.
Well, why wouldn't I?
I find that it's hard to get up out of that chair. That's the problem.
By the way,
that
should be every chair's problem.
It is a poor problem.
That's the problem that a chair wants.
Google Jeff Garlin and you'll find Park West, and you'll be able to find tickets for this.
Yeah, Jeff Garlin, Park West.
So I was just telling a story before the show started, and Jeff walked into the studio about Cameo, right? Which is this. And you said. So I was telling the story that a guy from Cameo, which is this company that where you can send messages to people.
They're
on the phone.
Chicago-based,
Chicago-based.
Yeah.
She knows
I know him pretty well.
Anna knows the people.
Stephen Galanis, yeah, the founder of the company. He's a young guy. True story, he was Alexi Genulius's driver as like a teenager pretty much when he was running for Senate. And so he's ventured off onto his into his own after getting some corporate experience, and he started Cameo.
So a buddy of mine who is used to be a mid-range rock star, traveling very big in Europe, as we like to say.
Right.
He calls me. He's out of the music industry, and he calls me and he says, "Hey, I'm now the musical director for Cameo. I got you an account." And I'm like, "What am I going to do with this thing?"
Got an account.
And he goes, "No, I signed you up. It's all good. Just give me your email address. And you're going to make like $50 of a message or something." I'm like, "No one's going to ask for my message." Literally signs me up. An hour later, I get my first request. And my last, by the way, I may point out. And then it's sort of an entertaining thing. You make it so easy. It's so idiot-proof to do.
We should explain what it is, because now you've got Ellen's producer on. You've got a lot of Real Housewives, and like you've got comedians. You've got people from YouTube stars.
Chicago Bears are on there.
Chicago Bears, athletes. NFL players,
yeah. If you
Brett
want,
Favre is
porn
on
stars.
There.
Yes.
They're on there. Stormy Daniels.
I've gone through the whole thing. I use Cameo, but I find people that are absurd. Like, my ex, who I love, who I mentioned.
Yes.
I hate calling her my ex. It just sounds so goofy. But the point is, I got Ruth Buzzy to send her a message. I got Rex Smith to send her a message. But here's my best one.
Huh.
Do you know who David Kaplan is, the sports guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cap. Of course.
Okay.
Cap.
He's on there.
Cap Man.
Mm-hmm. I have requested through fake names the goofiest messages.
And he doesn't?
He does.
Am I allowed to reject them now? I'm thinking
yes,
about getting off.
Yes, you can reject. Yeah. You can reject.
Of course, you can just sign off the thing. They asked me.
So I mentioned this, and Jeff walks in and goes, "That is the lowest form of humanity, Cameo."
Well, not the people who request them.
No.
The people that are doing them. It's like, really? You don't have something better to do than that? Are you having that much trouble making money? It's an announcement to the world of like, you know what? I don't make enough.
Right. Yeah. I'm done. This is I'm going to bury myself.
And so, as a matter of
so what'd you get Cap to do?
What's that?
What'd you get Cap to do?
I make him give speeches to grandmas, like, "Grandma," like, literally, because I'll write these things. This is one, I'm trying to even remember. "Grandma, don't be afraid of chicken. Chicken's delicious. I prefer a good steak, but chicken is delicious, Grandma. Glad you're a big fan of mine, Grandma." Okay. I make him say "Grandma" 40 times. And then I sent him to my friend Brad Morris, and we both just laugh.
Oh, because you write kind of a script for the celebrity, and then they do.
And he has no idea, and he still couldn't. If I do it, he has no idea it's going to be me.
I like that.
That's
like
so
that.
Great.
You're the Cameo assassin.
Yeah,
what you are.
Well, by the way, yes.
You're
and so
Law and Order.
And there's a lot of people that I don't. A lot of people. I mean, it's a horrible. It's wonderful for the buyer. The sellers, it's sad.
Oh,
I quit.
It's
one
your first
and done.
Day, Ro. Well, don't let him talk
no,
you
no,
out
no,
of
no,
it. This could be a major money stream for you.
Ro, in all sincerity, man, you're too good for that.
All right, thank you.
You
Jeff,
are.
You know
I have
what,
too much respect
that.
For you.
I'm going to put that on my...
Oh, so today was your first day on there?
Yeah. Well,
get
no.
the hell off.
All right, goodbye.
And let me also say that you should still purchase other people's cameos, because there's so many people on there that are too good not to send them, goofy messages to your friends. It's awesome. You
it
can
is.
Get all these people to say things. I remember my son, his best friend, had his birthday, and my son got the top male porn star who's a quote a bear, covered in hair, to make a message for his friend. Awesome. Awesome. Just to have that kind of access is awesome.
See, that's
right.
But by the way, I'm also thinking, even for charity, no. And then, like, if I was, how much would I charge? I would think on the low end for me, $500 a message.
Yeah.
On the low end.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I'm
for
probably
sure.
thinking, but even if I did like $10,000 a message, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Or whatever, I would say, who's the most? And I would double it. Okay.
Right. See if anybody
paid. But even then, just being listed on there is an embarrassment.
All right. Thank you. I will take that under advisement. Jeff Garland, you can see him next Wednesday at the Park West. West. He's doing a show for Netflix. You're filming a Netflix special at the Park West.
Yes.
Two shows.
Yes.
So come out and see
Our Man in Chicago.
Our Man in Chicago. All right. Great to see you.
You will not see me.
You'll not. You know what? I know what's going to happen now. He's gonna be heading back home right now, and he's going to buy me on Cameo to say the most ridiculous damn thing ever. I know, and it's going to be you. I know.
And he's going to try to fake you out and pretend it's a sweet grandma. Something.
I want to be really clear.
Yeah.
If you're still on there in a couple weeks' time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Game on.
I'm coming for you. I expect you to be off, and you deserve whatever I send you.
All right.
And I'll even put it up on my Instagram. Yeah.
Grandma, don't hate chicken.
Yeah.
All right.
I swear, you think I'm kidding. That's a literal one. And he's talking to someone's grandma. No, he thinks that their nickname is grandma. That's even the funnier part. My friend's nickname is grandma. Will you tell him to stop hating chicken? He hates chicken. And I got the best. Oh, delightful.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm off. Okay. Thank you very much.
I stay on.
No, I don't.
It'd be fun to have Jeff write something funny for you. And
then
I'll laugh at you.
Instagram and everybody
we can laugh at you.
By the way, what's even lower? What's even lower than me having to make you make a fool of yourself?
Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. There's nothing lower than Jeff Garland humiliating me.
You're not in Kaplan territory.
No, you're correct about that. Thank you very much. Right. I appreciate it. Kim, would you like to do the news? Brought to you by Lindemann Chimney and Fireplace.
Kim Gordon, rocker. A rocker. Kim Gordon.
She is like a rocker.
I love her music.
Thanks. It's what I do on the side.
Yes.
And what do you think of Republicans who say that they may take action to block you imposing those tariffs?
Oh, I don't think they will do that. I think if they do, it's foolish. There's nothing more important than borders. I've had tremendous Republican support. I have a 94% approval rating as of this morning in the Republican Party. That's an all-time record. Can you believe that? Isn't that something? I love records. But we have a 94% approval rating in the Republican Party. I want to see security at our border. I'm going to see great trade. I'm going to see a lot of things happening.
I like when he does that, though. He always does, when he does a number, you know, it starts with, you know, I've got 90%, 94, but this morning went up to 94%. Like, he just makes it up because he goes, who's going to check that?
Yeah,
no one's
got
ever going to check that. And
it's such an obscure one among Republicans.
Yes. It's a record. There's like 15 Republicans left now. I don't. Did you see that other story today?
Yes.
About the defections in the Republican Party. I mean, it's like he's kind of created a little bit of a draft, because I think that a lot of Republicans, when they're asked that question, they're afraid he's on the other end of the phone, so they answer it like, "Oh no, I'm with him. No. Oh great, he's great. Love his hair. I like that new hairstyle he's working on, the sort of the flat one, the hat head.
Yeah."
All right. Well, you know, the Republicans are worried about this, the tariffs in Mexico, because that's, you know, kind of a it's kind of a bit of a problem.
It is.
Because there's going to be people don't think of it in this respect. You think about the border and you think about, you know, families and little kids in dirty T-shirts. Right. That's sort of the image that people have in the United States. And the reality is that billions of dollars go across that border of our product into Mexico and Mexico's product into the United States that we purchase. And it's really important because you know, you have borderline trading partners. They generally are the biggest ones that you have. And now there's a lot of economists going, hey, whoa, this could create a problem, and the president does not seem to listen to those folks who say those things because he thinks they're weenies. A.B. Stoddard is joining us. She's a weenie. I think he's called her a weenie before.
Oh,
there's no question about that.
So, that's unfair.
I'll take it. I mean,
yes,
I think
if he says it,
things,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He could call me sleepy.
he calls me drunky, which I think is weird. Oh. That's accurate, but I think it's weird. That drinky Rokan. Anyway, all right, so what Republicans, so he says today that 94% of Republicans, new record, he loves records, he sets a record every day, and this is the newest one today. Are the Republicans, I know it's laughable, right? We laugh. We laugh the same way we laugh when we saw him in Tails standing next to the Queen. And so we had the exact same experience. What is it? Are Republicans really in lockstep with him?
So now the Senate Republicans, after having a lunch gathering where I think only a handful of senators stood up and said to their colleagues and the visitors from the White House, this is not acceptable. But no one else, like no Lindsey Graham stood up with, you know, auto companies in the state and everything else and actually stood up and said, you know, this is all great. So it's cumulative. It's been, you know, boiling for a really long time. And what the upshot is that the senators are trying to tell the president that they think they can amass a veto-proof majority to try to block them. And this is complicated on many levels. You know, he used the International Economic Powers Act, and you know, there can be quibbling over that. There are so many different steps of different tariffs that he's moved on, getting to 25% with the Chinese, starting with 5% with Mexico. Will he raise them? But also these new threatened tariffs, the White House has placed, you know, again, now it's about immigration. They're imperiling the chance of the new NAFTA, the USMCA passing. There's all these things at stake, the cross-border trade you just referenced. But they have provided the senators and the government of Mexico no metrics and no benchmarks by which success can be measured, which really scares people because it sounds like, you know, it just goes with like the bad Russia news coverage and President Trump's peak, right? At what point can they please him and he will not escalate with each passing 4-week marker from 5% to 10 to 15 to 20 to 25? And so that by October. So that's, I guess, you know, there are ongoing discussions, but the senators wanted to send their very first threat of a veto-proof majority, which they've never done before. They didn't do it on the National Emergency Declaration. You know, they really, as we've discussed so much, you know, taken his crap over everything. But apparently, goofballs in the Federal Reserve and tariffs are the last straw.
Well, it is interesting. The Federal Reserve did seem to be the last, which was good. You know, I mean, you know,
I just marvel at when they put their foot down, Ro. Okay, it's sometimes a little straight.
Yes, I mean, Stephen Moore. I'm sorry, we're not going to put him on or Herman Cain. And it's, and we, you know, we, you and I both know Stephen Moore. We like him personally, but you know, it's you know, he was not the right guy for it, right? I mean, it was like we just had Jeff Garland in the studio. He'd be as qualified to be the to be on the Federal Reserve.
Be entertaining.
Yeah, a whole big bowl of wrong is what that would be. Mm-hmm. But here's where we sit now is that the president seems to be, you know, unrestricted in any way. I think that after, you know, post Mueller, he's like, listen, even the Mueller report, which was pretty damning, he gets up and he says, listen, it was great. I'm totally exonerated. And people not paying a lot of attention because they got their own lives. They got their own worries. They got their own stuff they got to do. They're like, I guess it's okay. He says it's okay. Otherwise, he'd be taking them out in handcuffs. And that's how he gets away with it. And I don't want that for, I mean, I see that Trump will get away with it for the next, you know, year or maybe five, but I'm assuming a year. And, you know, we'll just have to look back on this moment. But if other people try it, I mean, come on. We're breaking the system here.
Well, it's interesting. I think obviously for the party in Congress, for who are, you know, pretend they're still free traders, I guess, for the voters in his constituency, his coalition, farmers, people in the Rust Belt, he ran on trade, told them they'd been screwed, the factories were going to come back, you know, everything was going to be great. The tariffs, you know, they really have hung with him, and they've told pollsters and focus groups he's still fighting. It's going to be some short-term pain, but we're going to hang with him. But you can just tell from this last announcement, from the collapse of the negotiations with the Chinese, to an escalation there, and then to this threat about the tariffs with Mexico, on Mexico, you can just sense that the pain on the ground that's being felt in the southern states where they're worried that he's going to impose auto tariffs, in the southern states that do cross-border trade with Mexico, in the flooded, as we've discussed, drowned out ag communities in the Midwest, that the pain on the ground is now, you know, coming through, and that their senators, their lawmakers really can't continue to say this is going so well and clearly you have an end game and like a strategy and it's all going to be great. It's an open-ended situation with the Chinese. The new threat with Mexico without these benchmarks, as I mentioned, the idea of it going to 25% is terrifying to these people. And so, you know, I don't know if this fortitude among Republicans is going to last long, but they've certainly never come as far as they have today.
So you look at it as a moment in time, maybe, like this is significant to see this pushback, that even the threat of vetoing, to veto or to override the president on something significant like this. In the past, it seems as if we've seen completely the opposite, that we're just going to go, this is his way of negotiating, and we're all behind it. It feels like it might be a significant moment in time.
Right. And again, I don't know if they're going to backtrack. They're probably secretly crossing their fingers, all of them, that somehow the officials, the delegation from Mexico, is going to be able to calm Trump down. He's going to backtrack. Remember when he threatened to shut the border down, you know, all the members, this is the same issue was at play here. Cross-border trade, 1.8 you know, billion, whatever. They were frantic about this. And he did retreat. He said, I've talked to the Mexican government and I'm going to give them a year. Mm-hmm. Now it's boiled up again. And, you know, we know he acts on these moments because of a lot of things that bother him, not only him learning about, you know, big numbers coming over the border, but Mueller had just spoken on Wednesday when he made this decision Wednesday night. And we don't think he read the Mueller report, so I don't think he liked hearing the special counsel say the things that he said at that press statement. But I do think this is a significant moment. I don't know that it'll last. Other things could get Trump off this cliff, and then the Republicans won't have to do this. But I think they're that worried that they had to threaten him in a public way. They have been threatening him in private about trade since 2017, you know, early months. He was going to tear up NAFTA, and then they worried he couldn't get to a new deal. Then they did get to a new deal, but he started the tariffs on the Chinese and the Canadians, and it's just been going on and on and on. And they've been privately expressing anguish all along, and this is the most public they've ever been.
Well, he also doesn't like the headlines coming out about the mistakes that have been made with the detainees, because the story has really shifted in the last couple of days from people trying to get across the border to how the detainees are being held or mismanaged or the kids are getting lost and all that. And so there's a way, if you want to distract from that, that's fine. And, you know, in the meantime, they're trying to move, you know, some underling staffer who was just trying to do the right thing, moving the USS John McCain out of his view so he doesn't lose his mind in Japan, or that he, you know, God forbid he goes to France and he sees a French fry, he may just lose his freaking mind. And it's like, there's nothing you can do about it, but it's, you know, if I'm a crone, I just cancel. I just go, hey, listen, I got my own problems. The country's closed. We'll see you on June 7th. We can't do anything about it. All right,
no, AB. These foreign trips are always really dicey. Yeah. I mean, anything can happen, and they usually will.
Yes, I sort of expect missiles to fly at any given moment during a foreign trip. All right, thank you very much, AB. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, AB Stoddard. You can read her in Real Clear Politics. She's the associate editor of that particular organization, Chicago-based, by the way, at least Chicago-founded.
I'd like to hear that.
All right. Let us now say that Kim Gordon will tell us what's happening in the news at the top of the hour.
Mayor Lightfoot once again calling for Alderman Ed Burke to resign.
Kim Gordon's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, and that comes your way in 2 minutes. On the other side, Mike Monaco is going to be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Ed Burke's day in court. He'll tell us about it. He is not the attorney of record in that case, so he can talk about it. He
Perfect.
Normally is.
It's been a real problem. With several of these high-profile cases, we usually dip into Mike Monaco and his knowledge, but he represents some of these people, and then that's a big problem for us.
He totally screws us.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Clams up.
Yeah. At least not yet the case. He's got a great attorney, though, Joe Duffy, so we'll see what happens there. But, ooh. And Lori Lightfoot, she's no happy. She is no happy, so we'll find out about that. But first, you like to get pucked in Prague? You can do it.
Is that what we're calling the promotion now?
I think that's a better name.
Pucked in Prague.
Pucked in Prague. Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay. Chicago Blackhawks open up their season, as you know by now, against the Flyers in Prague. and the Steve Cochran Show weekdays through Thursday at 7:40 a.m. You'll hear a sounder. Don't change that dial. He will also give you a window of when you want to make sure you're listening again during the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Right.
He gave us that window.
Yep.
Said earlier today, right? They don't even tell me the window because they're afraid I'm going to blurt the window out.
That's a true story.
So I have no idea when that's going to play. But somebody here, some lucky person will, they'll be told a specified number, call, you know, be caller number, blah, blah, blah. At this particular time, blah, blah, blah. Again, they won't tell me that either. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get the Blackhawks fan package, 4 tickets to the Blackhawks convention, signed replica jersey, signed hockey stick, signed puck and photo, and then you'll be qualified to win the trip for 2 to Prague to get pucked in Prague.
Hmm.
How about that?
Pretty big. Huge.
Imagine when the Hawks get there, all the pucking that will be going on in Prague. Just think about that for a second. Right? Between the Flyers and the Hawks there in Prague. What a beautiful, romantic city it is.
Bro.
Great for pucks.
How did you make this dirty? This is going to see the Hawks play,
yes,
open their season,
yes,
in Prague,
right,
one of the world's great cities.
Right, exactly.
Classic pucking in Prague.
Pucking in Prague. There's going to be such pucking. Everyone's going to be happy.
What are you selling here?
I think so. It's what good time is that game on in Chicago? People will be able to watch it in Chicago.
I think it's a,
right,
nooner for us. Let me double check.
Okay, that's good.
Oh gosh, you guys, doesn't stop.
Is it a nooner? Is it? I think it is. I think it is. Yeah. And sometimes you'd like to wake up to it. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the story?
2 p.m. Is it October 4th?
2 o'clock.
It's 2 p.m.
2 o'clock, the pucking.
Yes. Central time. That's, you can mark that pucking begins on your calendar.
Right.
It's afternoon delight.
Yes, yeah. Afternoon delight. Some good afternoon pucking is going to happen.
Why are we playing along with this?
On Friday. What is it? What's the date there? On Friday.
2 o'clock puck session?
Mm-hmm. Yes. At what? And that's on October 4th, on Friday,
October 4th.
October 4th,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
An important day to remember.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to practice first.
Yeah, you got to. Practice makes perfect. And that's what they'll do.
But
I'm glad hockey players are protected.
You never know going overseas. Can't be too careful.
Oh, my God. I was choking. All right. Story today in the firmament about drunk purchasing. Like it's your, you have a few cocktails, mm-hmm, and the next thing you know, you're on Amazon, and you're just buying stuff.
Next thing you know, a 60-inch TV shows up at your door the next day.
According to The Hustle, and not Hustler, but The Hustle, it's a website, Tech E-Letter, they conducted a survey of 2,100 alcohol-consuming readers. Drunk shopping is a $45 billion a year industry. $45
wow.
billion. Dollars.
That's huge.
Because of how many purchases are made or because of the expense of these purchases, do you think?
I think it's probably a combination. I did once try to buy a car drunk. And
oh,
that
my
was
gosh.
Good. It was good because they wouldn't let me test drive the car, which was how I didn't end up buying the car.
Wait, late at night, you're online?
No.
Okay.
No,
day.
Middle afternoon.
Daytime.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was out with some friends. We were doing some day drinking. This was in Florida. It wasn't even here.
Was it at noon?
It was not a nooner. No, it was kind of a late. It was a 4-ish time. And that seemed to be the appropriate time to go buy a car.
Oh, jeez.
Like on a Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I was on vacation.
On vacation?
Yeah.
Were we going to drive home?
Well, no, I had a place in Florida. And so then I thought, you know, I need a car for my place. Now, nobody thought I needed a car for my place. Nobody. You know, you got the Uber. You got all my friends had cars down there. I didn't really need a car. But I thought, you know, I should have a car. I would rent a car at the airport and drive and return the car at the airport. And that was like, but then I said, no, I got to have my own.
Did you have friends around you at this time when you were doing this?
Yes.
Who could have talked you out of it?
My friend dropped me off at the dealership.
That's not a friend.
I think he just tried to talk me into it. So we're driving back. We, you know, maybe we were playing a little golf. Maybe we were drinking a little bit on the golf course.
Yeah.
Maybe we were drinking a little bit at lunch. Maybe then they, and it was like, and we were driving back toward, we lived near each other. And then he said, and then I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to buy a car. And he goes, you got to go see my friend. my friend over at the dealership, over at Germain. Germain, they'll love you. You'll love them. I'm like, oh, they're from Columbus, Ohio. I like that. Next thing you know, I'm being driven into the parking lot of this big, you know, like superstore of cars, and I'm wandering around the lot, and I find a car, and I'm like, I want to test drive this. I go, sir, you're not going to be test driving the car. Well, thank you,
they could tell.
Yes.
Yeah, that stopped that right,
how
whole
much?
Thing.
I'll pay cash right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sir, we're calling you an Uber. Basically how that ended.
Rookie salesman should have taken the deal.
I know. You know, you
and
thought,
then Ubered you. I was, pick you it know, up tomorrow.
The funny thing is, I look back on that moment, and I thought, my God, why didn't they want to do business with me? How bad could it have possibly been that they were like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
But now,
if a car salesman on a super lot won't do a deal with you,
yes.
It says something about your state of mind at the moment.
Yes, it was bad. It was bad. But I did. As recently as this morning, I go to my mail slot, and there's a package in my mail slot.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, I purchased at some point over the last week or two a T-shirt from England.
What? Does it have like a Union Jack on it?
No.
How do you know it's from England?
It's well, because it says straight out of London, you know, like straight out of Compton thing, except it's straight out of London, and it's for the Arsenal Football Club.
Oh, that sounds like something you would buy. You don't have to be drunk to buy something like that.
Well, yes, except it's like a house dress. It's like, it is.
You got the soccer hooligan size?
I got
the XXX.
Right.
I got,
it's like triple X or quadruple X or something. I mean, it's like, I'm not a small man. I'm not. I'm large. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, what do you do with this? I don't know.
You must have been so drunk that you couldn't tell how many X's were in front of your face when you were ordering.
I think that might have been the case. And I don't even remember doing this. That's the worst part.
Oh, that's the worst part.
You're like,
wait a minute.
I must have gotten up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, I'm looking at Amazon. Because you know what they do is they send you, and Amazon does do this. They all do this. Adidas does this to me all the time.
Yeah.
Like, at about 11:50 at night, they hit me with an email.
It says, you ordered.
With a product that is like, this is perfect for you.
Oh.
Based on your previous purchases. Yes. No, well, that's true. That's actually in the story. That there are e-retailers that know exactly when to hit you with your email based on your purchase history.
But it makes sense if it's a $54 billion industry. I'm sure the marketing people have figured it out. But that's almost wrong, isn't it? It's kind of like
clothing,
playing with people
clothing,
aren't all there.
Clothing and shoes, number one. 66% of drunk purchases are clothing and shoes.
That makes sense.
It
people
does.
Get the beer goggles on. Like, this is going to make me look beautiful. I'm going to look great in these shoes. And then you get it, and you're like, what the hell did I order?
47% are games.
Games?
Yeah.
Video games?
Yep. Yeah. I don't think they're buying, I don't think Parcheesi is being bought. No. I think it's sort of, you know, Call of Booty or something like that. I don't know. And then 47% is tech.
Okay. That makes sense.
Wait a second. How could all of these categories were adding up to like 300%? I don't know how this is working.
You buy them at the same time.
Let's see. And then food, 36%.
I'm definitely a food person.
Munchies.
Multiple selections.
Delivery all the time.
Yeah.
Feed me.
Yeah, see?
But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think it's making bad purchases that's the problem, or surprise purchases like you found out, and the things you just like, you're kind of like, what? Why? I ordered this? Then you go return it. Food is just food, right? You're going to consume it. It's not a bad purchase.
And if you're drunk, you might be hungry.
Or you might order mountains of bad, foreign food.
Yeah. Although
your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
I don't want to engage a human being though after a certain time of night. So unless the food can be droned into me, I'm not really interested in it.
I'm surprised Amazon isn't delivering pizzas yet. Like cooked pizzas, ready to go.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Well, especially if they have an hour delivery, if they're getting that worked out, do you think they could deliver ice cream to you? Anything?
We're all just starting to say what we would want when we're drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, wait a minute. I was thinking mint chocolate chip ice cream. You think they'd do that?
Think they'll have chicken wings, too?
You know what we had at the Sox game last week?
What'd you have?
God, oh, the French fries.
The French, yeah.
Those French fries that they, you know, you could put like chili
loaded
sauce.
Fries.
I had the Mediterranean ones, you know, the Greek fries, you know, with the olive oil.
I'm still
and the
digesting
cheese and
the
stuff.
Chili cheese fries, Lauren, and I consumed.
Those were
unbelievable. That is the best. I would do that as a drunk Amazon kind of. I'd like to talk to Bezos now that he's got some time on his hands. Uh-huh.
Extra chili on the fries this time, man.
Just have cars roving around neighborhoods in Chicago, ready to drop off those fries to inebriated consumers. So here's the other. All right, so demographically, baby boomers spend a whopping $500 million. Or no, I'm sorry, a whopping $550 annually on drunk purchases. Gen Xers $383, and millennials are in the middle at about $400.
That's interesting.
Yeah, see, the boomers.
That is interesting.
That's like I'm sort of the end of the boomer. I'm between boomer and X or whatever they call that. So that's the that would be now 550. I've done that on a single purchase.
I'm going to say you're on the high end of that particular range.
So that's not,
you're factored in. You're kind of thrown out. You know, you throw the high and the lows out. The row out.
Yeah, I mean, I did try to buy a $38,000 car. I used like, car off a lot,
what?
So it was like, you know. No, sir. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do that. Now, as participants' poison of choice, liquor remains absolutely the
number
key.
One.
It's if you're drinking the brown stuff or the clear stuff, right? That's when next thing you know. You're on the Amazon buying stuff.
Well, which is why they have so many of those different services now that deliver liquor to you. That's the other thing you can get delivered. Booze delivered to your door at any time of the day. It's so easy
now.
It's
like a Grubhub thing, but booze. It's
they've got
awesome.
A whole bunch of them. They've got like startups, like Instacart.
I still can't figure out how that's okay.
How you're delivering.
Yeah. I mean, so to get a license to sell liquor is a big deal. Right. And then go through the stamping process and all of that, and then make sure everybody's of age. And then next thing you know, you're just delivering to somebody's house.
Well, here you go.
I've heard of pizza shops that'll bring beer to you. And I always thought, I'm like, that can't be. That's probably
little. Joel, get off the babysitter. The beer's here. You know, it's like, that's a problem, is it not?
I think they ask for ID. So as long as you're accepting it, then you are in charge of it. It's you.
Right, because the grad student who's delivering it, because he's
a high schooler throwing
one in
a
the
party.
Morning.
Because a high schooler throwing a party who's got a Colorado ID, you know, it's like, what is he going to do? What is he going to know? I mean, it just seems like that's a
some things could go wrong right there. Yeah,
definitely a loophole.
Yeah.
Definitely,
well, but I like it.
Look at me. I'm getting all judgmental about it now.
Very judgy on that. I nearly bought a car and then went to the lot to try to drive it.
He won't let me. I just didn't see a manager. He won't let me drive this car.
I can't figure out why not.
Sir, you're going back home now.
Sir, you tried to get into the passenger seat to drive.
I thought it was England. I'm wearing a 5X Arsenal t-shirt. Oh, yeah. I should really... I'm under a lot of stress.
That's hard to return, too, if you get something from England, right?
No, the
shipping alone is the problem.
So this t-shirt that I bought on Amazon that I don't remember buying that showed up today, and it's five times bigger than anything that I can wear, is not returnable. Because I looked at the receipt, and it says clearly not returnable. And apparently on the transaction, it said not returnable. So there you go.
Seems like a good business to only sell things between 11:30 and 4 a.m. and then make them not returnable.
Yeah. I'm wondering how
much, like, think about how much money you can make.
I'm wondering how many times I can wash this t-shirt to get it down to size.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but then it just like goes shorter but stays just as wide.
Boxy. Yeah, that's gonna be bad.
You could kind of tie it and then make it a half shirt.
I could do that. I could also spray paint Frankie Say on the back of it, too. Sort of, or maybe take the collar out, you know, sort of comes off my shoulders.
Make a nice throw rug.
That would make a nice throw rug. Maybe a bath towel is what I might use it for. All right, let's check in now with Kim Gordon, find out what's coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour.
Instagram influencers might become even more influential.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Mike Monaco is here. We're going to play Is It Legal at Burke Edition.
Oh, God. I feel bad for Ed Burke. He's 75. This is not the time for this. It's unfortunate.
Okay, now, what? I'll tell you what a lot of people right now just drove off the road and just yelled at their radio.
Say?
And they're like, what do you mean you feel bad for Ed Burke? The problem here is, and I understand that, you know, in your business, you meet a lot of these folks. And they just grew up in a political system in which this was just an accepted practice. This kind of stuff was going on, and people were looking the other way. But they knew it was never right in the first place. Now, again, these are all allegations. He has his day in court.
He says they're all unfounded. The charges are unfounded.
Yes. So we will allow him to have his day in court. But if the government, because they're often always so wrong, according to the president of the United States, when they go after people, it seems that it's going to be a situation where, you know, I would imagine a significant amount of evidence.
Yeah, from the indictment, they list certain of his comments that are on tape allegedly, and they're very, very tough to accept.
Well, the cash register hasn't rung yet, and did we land the tuna? Are those the kinds of statements you're talking about?
Yeah, those are not good. But you know,
but I mean, in we'll see. What can a defense attorney say about those?
Well, the first thing is whether or not there was a sufficient evidence of probable cause to get a search warrant.
The old search warrant was bad.
The problem here is,
start with that. Yeah,
Solis was cooperating. So the fact that Solis was cooperating ahead of time means that his taped conversations with the alderman were probably voluntary on his part. They didn't need a search warrant for Solis's. So the fact that Solis is cooperating now is
make
it easier for the government to prove that the search warrants were, there was probable cause to believe a crime had been committed.
So if a guy is cooperating and he's wearing a wire because he's already done something bad and he's doing this on the other side,
that's voluntary.
You don't have to get a search warrant to overhear the other subject.
Right. In federal court, that's true.
But you do have to keep renewing those, and there has to be, you can't just listen forever.
That's true. I think every 90 days or something you need to go back to the chief judge, because the chief judge is in charge of the search warrants in federal court, and so you have to go back to that judge and ask them to continue it, because you have to show it's been successful up to that point, and you expect it to be successful going forward.
There's likely to find more. So the fact that they did this for 2.5 years leads you to believe they found a... I don't want to speculate.
2.5 years! Imagine the reaction in City Hall. I just remember when this came out, what is it, like 4 months ago, 5 months ago? And everybody was running around at the same time going, oh my God, did you ever talk to him? Did you ever talk? What about that Chinese business guy?
Oh God.
62,000 of Burke's phone calls. Burke's alone. Yeah. Not say nothing of other City Hall officials, other aldermen, other people in different
A lot of evidence. And, you know, in order to... Now, so the other aspects of this legally, the FBI has to do what they call minimization. So they have to listen to these tapes, all the tapes.
Oh, gosh.
And if, for example, if they start talking about their families or things like that, they have to cut that off and not tape record that. That's sort of what happened in Florida with the fellow in Florida.
Well, didn't Gotti know that? And some of those tapes, weren't they very careful about how they tried to. I seem to remember that. I believe it was the Gotti trial.
Like code names that were family members.
They were trying to get around that.
Really?
Either that or it was an episode of Sopranos.
His lawyer was a friend of mine. Bruce Cutler was a friend of mine. But I don't know about that case. I know here the minimization is one aspect that the defense has to argue that if the government fails to minimize when they're recording this sort of thing.
So let's say Danny Solis is talking to Ed Burke and says, you know, hey, what about that deal with Miso Hung, the Chinese businessman?
Yeah,
who's, right.
Yeah, you're so politically appropriate.
I know,
so,
really.
So what about that? And he goes, I don't know. Did we land the tuna? Hey, how's your wife? Oh, she's well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so you have to, at what point do you have to cut it off? Just that or, you know, where
no,
is it?
If the substance of the conversation is involving something that's illegal and they're allowed to tape record that. I mean, if they throw in something that's not related to it, doesn't matter.
But you have to listen to the whole thing to figure it out.
You got to listen 24/7. They have to have people have to be listening 24/7.
Oh my gosh.
They turn that off and then turn it back on? Or do they just go, we're going to excise this part out because that's not relevant?
Depends on the kind of case. I mean, I suppose that when someone's sleeping, they turn it off. You know, but
you never know. You don't want to do that with me because you never know what I'm going to say.
You might admit to everything.
Right. That's right.
Let me just tell you everything.
I may wake up in the middle of the night and order a 6X t-shirt from London, England.
And then try to buy a car and then forget about all of it.
Yeah.
The one thing, when I talk to reporters who cover the courts, and they're not lawyers, obviously, which is why I want to ask you, they say they were a bit shocked, alarmed to see the feds charge him with racketeering, something you usually see in connection with mob activity, gangs, cartels, stuff like that, claiming the city of Chicago used...
Well, they use RICO a lot. I mean, RICO is not just limited
against
to the
alderman
mob.
In a political
Well, they used it. They used it against the Border Trade people in case I was involved in. So that was, I thought, and really they get an advantage when they do that.
Okay.
Because under RICO, you've got to prove that there's an organization. So it's easy to prove that Burke's political organization was in existence. Mm-hmm. You have to prove he's a member of the organization. That's easy to prove.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the government gets an advantage when they argue that there was a RICO conspiracy rather than an ordinarily conspiracy.
Right. The government holds many of the cards here. And yeah, so it's very hard in a situation like this.
It's
so
tough.
Let me ask you, current counsel Joe Duffy, right?
Joe and Chuck Sklarsky and Tony Veloukas.
Okay.
Are his three lawyers.
And, of course, Tony Veloukas was a former U.S. attorney, right, for the Northern District of Illinois.
And Chuck was an assistant. Joe was an assistant.
Yeah. And it is my recollection that Mr. Duffy is also regularly used as an attorney who is that doesn't necessarily go to trial, but he's there to negotiate along the way. And
I don't know if that's true. I mean, nobody tries as many cases as we used to try. You know, the trials are fewer and fewer. But
because of the internet, what is
because
that?
Of the guidelines, for example, that because you have a better idea of where your sentence is going to be, depending on if you plead guilty, and the guidelines themselves give you a reward for pleading guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's seems
would
unfair.
You anticipate that this is going to go to trial?
Hard to say. He's 75. He's
what mitigates against that? So his age.
What mitigates against going to trial? Mm-hmm. His age and the amount of evidence there is against him. You know, he doesn't. Now, of course, you know, his wife is on the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Burke.
So, and she's had a terrific career there. This is mm-hmm. obviously not going to be helpful for her career.
But he's entered a not guilty plea today.
Right.
Would, in order for there not to be a trial, they'd have to come to some sort of an agreement.
Right. Right.
Yes, at some point.
In all likelihood, that's, I mean,
admitting guilt.
Most cases don't go to trial. But, you don't know. I mean, maybe he's 75, maybe he says, I'm going to go to trial. I don't care what they say. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know. I've not spoken to his lawyers about it. I've spoken to his lawyers, but I have not spoken about what their intention is.
Yeah. Interesting. But he, at this point, he's maintaining his innocence. And he is saying that this is completely unfounded. He's going to continue on. Lori Lightfoot today says, you got to step aside.
In no uncertain terms.
You know,
it's a damning indictment.
I know. It really is amazing, isn't it? That this fellow, 3 months ago,
right,
had such power, and then seems overnight, the way the new mayor was talking to him when he stood up in the city council, it was shocking, you know, that he's lost all that power so quickly.
Right. She swatted him away like a fly when he tried to challenge her on those rules.
That was interesting.
It was very interesting to watch. He'd already been stripped of his finance chair.
Right.
Committee head.
Which was very powerful, which is part of the indictment. Because the indictment, this is something that came up with the governor of Virginia. The governor of Virginia accepted money from somebody who was had a product that he wanted the state of Virginia to test. And so the governor of Virginia accepted money from this fellow and helped him get these tests done. The Supreme Court said that that was not an official act and therefore threw the case out. against the governor of Virginia. Hmm. Here, that's why they argue, that's why they mention in the indictment, they say he's a member of the, he was chairman of the Finance Committee, and the chair, as chair of the Finance Committee, he had the right to set the schedule for that committee. Because that's one of the
right. So that so he's in. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is he's connected.
Yeah.
In
and the acts were related to official business.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever it happened to have been.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, he would be the biggest fish. You know, I guess potentially ever that they've taken down. There's, you know, a lot of former aldermen who were very, very powerful.
Mike, George Keene, as you may remember, was a big fish under the first Mayor Daley. George Keene.
But
I think that was his name. Keene was his name. I can't even remember his name. But he was as popular. He was as powerful.
Did you put him in the clink?
No, I didn't. A friend of mine did, though.
Slam?
He was as popular, as powerful as Alderman Burke, for sure. But I think you're right, maybe. It certainly is. It'll be a significant conviction if they convict him.
All right.
Now, Hope Hicks is a different story.
Okay. So can you hold on, then we'll talk about Hope Hicks?
Sure.
Because I think she's her makeup is too dramatic for prison. I think that's one of the situations here. And you know, poor Hope Hicks, we don't want to see anything bad happen to her. Like, imagine how Fox News will react if she's like taken away in handcuffs.
She works for Fox News now.
And, oh, this is going to be bad then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So hold on, we'll talk about her and what's going on with her. But first, Kim Gordon, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
A downgrade of the global economy today.
Mike Monaco is in the studio with us, and he is our legal analyst. And we were just talking about Ed Burke, and Mike Monaco was very somber as he was discussing it with us, which is not good news for Ed Burke.
I've known him a long time, and I feel bad for him.
But Hope Hicks, now let's go to Washington for a second.
Do you know her?
I don't know her, but I know her lawyer is a very good friend of mine, Bob Trout, out of D.C.
I loved him. He's a great pitcher, too. I met so many questions.
Yeah.
But the idea here is that she's been told by the White House she doesn't have to testify before Congress.
Told not to.
Yeah.
And that she doesn't have to turn over documents.
Told not to.
Told not to.
Yeah.
Now,
which is interesting.
Is that legal?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that
if you get subpoenaed by Congress, don't you have to show up?
You've got to show up, and you've got to turn over whatever they're asking you to
turn over. Weren't you just in Congress because your client got subpoenaed?
I was just in Congress, and not in front of the Judiciary Committee with Congressman Nadler, but I was in front of three other committees.
You went in a secret one, too, where they didn't even know. He went into some room where he just disappeared.
You can't bring your phone in.
Yeah.
Which is not easy.
Make you leave it? Do you have to leave it right outside the front door?
You leave it with the guard outside the front door. And they have these huge, thick doors you go through with like 7 inches thick.
Mm.
And you make your way back there. But it's
Mike says that, so it's really about 3 inches. But go ahead. See what I did there. All right, so go ahead.
You can turn almost any
today.
Subject.
I did not. Go ahead.
So anyway.
So it makes everything dirty today.
Yeah, so Hope Hicks says that she is going to cooperate and turn over some documents. I guess that's not all of them, but she said, according to Nadler, she's going to turn over some documents, Congressman Nadler. And and that's sort of interesting because the president is telling her not to. So
can he arrest her?
With some way, she's going to be arrested. Yeah. No, she's saying the ones related to the campaign she may have control over, but the White House is arguing that all of the documents that have to do with the White House, she doesn't have control over it, so the committee should come to them. I'm sure they're just finding an opening there.
Well, there's a certain truth to that, in that the documents belong to the government, to the United States. They don't belong to the president either, for that matter. They belong to the people of the United States, and her documents don't, I suppose. But if she could, she might have private personal documents, like a diary or something that would relate, or her own personal notes that are hers and hers alone.
Oh, I would suggest that everybody in the White House keep a diary.
Yeah, really.
I would suggest that that's a good idea. Okay.
Couldn't go badly.
Excuse me, Mr.
That'd
President. I've got to leave. I got to go write something down right now.
I seem to remember that Mr. Comey had a diary, and Mr. I believe a number of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. McGahn apparently also had a diary. Yeah. Lawyers like to keep notes. Remember when the president.
Why are you writing notes? I'm a lawyer. I write notes.
There are going to be so many moments where we're going to look back on this and we're going to go, really? The president of the United States said that? It said lawyers should not take notes in meetings.
I think he said Roy Cohn never wrote notes. I go, well, okay. That's who you want to pattern your life after.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, do we think that Ms. Hicks will end up
testifying?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. She'll have to testify. Now, maybe if the president does try to get her not to testify, maybe Congressman Nadler or somebody is going to have to take the case up to the court. And it seems like the president is just trying.
How could the Supreme Court not allow?
No, of course they'll allow
an equal, separate, and equal branch of government,
especially involving investigating an impeachment.
Right,
investigating the possibility of an impeachment. Of course, they'll eventually allow.
Doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean they're going to get it. But you can't not let them investigate it.
Right.
But it seems like it'd just be a stalling tactic. Right. That's exactly what it is, Anna. See what happens.
Seems that's what it is because it doesn't seem to have any chance in heck of winning. So anyway,
Clarence Thomas will go with it.
Oh God!
You know that Clarence. It'll be 10-1. Actually, there isn't even 11.
8-1.
Be nine. I'm adding two more members just in case.
I don't know.
I got a couple draft picks that I'm interested in.
Clarence said he's not. The Supreme Court Justice Thomas said he's not going to retire soon.
He was angry because he said that was just another false report. There's no truth to that. That's another fake news situation.
The whole thing. When we don't like it,
and he's on a roll.
Well, he would know if he's going to retire or not.
A couple of months ago, he asked the question, which was the first time in his career that he asked the question in the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Michael DeMonaco, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Anna,
Michael DeMonaco, attorney at law and the legal analyst of this radio program, Unpaid Position. Oh, it's very exciting.
Good luck.
That's very exciting. People are going to get punked in Prague.
Blackhawks opener in Prague.
That's right.
October 4th.
Pucking in Prague.
That's what we're doing. The puck stops here in Prague.
Are you just trying to rename the contest after it's like almost done?
Yes, I am. It's almost done.
The final
2 days left. And I am trying to rename it. Yes, that is exactly what
it
is.
You never
happening.
Liked that. Pucks in Prague.
Pucks and Prague.
Pucks and Prague.
I mean, pucks in Prague makes some sort of sense.
Right.
But it's Pucks and Prague.
Took that up with the marketing people.
Yes. I couldn't find them. But yes, I would. If I had ever met them, I would do that. So I thought, you know, just if you did like, something about, get pucked in Prague or something like that. That was a good idea.
I think that sounds kind of dirty and maybe not right. Appropriate.
But you know what it's
but
time
I know what
for.
You do.
Now,
yeah.
Yep. Here, mm-hmm. here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Or Kevin. Kevin thought it was pucking. He thought that would be good, pucking in Prague.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you guys are not the marketing people.
For the Hawks, either.
Because
they're on
either.
The phone now with our marketing people going, make
what?
Him stop!
What are they
make
saying?
Make him stop!
I googled women in Prague. And there's a whole page
women
for
in Prague?
Yeah.
Yes. They're very, it's a, there's an, it, there is, yes. They're very attractive.
Says, Czech women have dazzled Western men with their exotic beauty since the early 90s.
Well, I think, but the president was married to a Czech woman, wasn't he? Wasn't the first one Ivana?
Ivanka's mom.
Yeah.
That's totally true.
You know, if the U.S. president marries hot Europeans, that's one's going to be a Czech and the other's going to be a Slovenian. Who knew that Slovenia was the epicenter?
The
but that's the thing. Worked out. Yeah, supermodel.
Number five.
Oh, speaking of the president,
mm-hmm.
he held a joint news conference with British Prime Minister Theresa May. She's leaving now.
Friday is her last day.
He was asked about his criticism of the London mayor, Sadiq Khan, no relation. Trump called Khan a stone-cold loser after Khan criticized the British government for inviting Trump.
Well, I think he's been a... not very good mayor, from what I understand. He's done a poor job. Crime is up. A lot of problems. And I don't think he should be criticizing a representative of the United States that can do so much good for the United Kingdom. We talked about it before. He should be positive, not negative. He's a negative force, not a positive force. And if you look at what he said, he hurts the people of this great country. And I think he should actually focus on his job. It'd be a lot better if he did that. He could straighten out some of the problems that he has and probably some of the problems that he's caused.
Mm-hmm. So you don't criticize him or we're going to pull. If you criticize the president, he will pull his support for whatever he's supporting. There you go.
I think they're both looking for bonus points, political bonus points. Sadiq Khan knew what he was doing when he started trying to bait him the days before he arrived.
Well, the baiting was taken.
It totally was. Yeah. It was hook, line, and sinker, yes. The whole thing.
He got the tuna, as Ed Burke would say.
I think Ed Burke was questioning, did we land the tuna?
Yes, Sadiq Khan landed the tuna. The president was also asked about the protests going on.
There were thousands of people on the streets cheering. And even coming over today, there were thousands of people cheering. And then I heard that there were protests. I said, where are the protests? I don't see any protests. I did see a small protest today when I came, very small. So a lot of it is fake news, I hate to say. But you saw the people waving the American flag, waving your flag. It was tremendous spirit and love. There was great love. It was an alliance. And I didn't see the protesters until just a little while ago. And it was a very, very small group of people. Put in for political reasons. So it was fake news.
Theresa May snapped her eye socket. Her eyes rolled back so far in her head when he was doing that.
It's fun.
We've seen the protests. There are thousands protests. Of people in the streets.
Giant baby statues of him.
Yes.
Well, a baby the balloon float. And a giant statue of him sitting on a toilet. But, you know, what's the difference?
Even though... in Trafalgar Square, there was the massive baby Trump balloon.
Right. The blimp. The baby Trump blimp.
Anti-Trump protesters have polled about various... I'm sorry. I don't understand what just happened here. On this.
The BBC is reporting that, you know, look, they've walked through the streets and there are thousands of anti-Trump protesters.
They've pulled the Trump baby through neighborhoods, I think is what it says here.
Oh, is that what it says?
There were pro-Trump protesters who popped the balloon.
Oh.
They did? The baby Trump balloon got
the balloon
got deflated? Was it Corey Lewandowski with a British accent?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. This is a Trump supporter who self-identifies as based Amy, who was quickly arrested.
I'm going in for it. I'm going.
What the f*** you
did? Did it. That's a disgrace. Shame on you. Yeah, baby. Hey, you better go check out. I think Donald Trump's balloon is not very well. I think it's going down rapidly for a reason. But yeah. I'm going to sue you.
Stop resisting. You're
listen, wait. I need somebody.
Stop.
I'm not resisting.
You are resisting.
I'm standing still. Hey, America, help me. These people are assaulting me. Ow!
Relax.
It is so relaxed. Ow! Look at my phone.
America, come help me. Okay, that's right. Wait till Trump sees this video tonight on Fox. Oh, my God, he's going to invade England.
He's going to extradite her.
Right, exactly. They're going to send in a SEAL team to go take her out of custody in Worcestershire, wherever the hell she is. This is Trafalgar Square. Is this
that's near is? London, in London, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's not Worcestershire.
Yeah, all right.
But so she did it. She took her little scissors and she popped it. It was promptly arrested.
All right. Oh, my God.
What is happening?
I don't know. I mean, why are we living it like this? Is it now we got them going? I mean, they were already kind of a little crazy. I mean, they started this thing with the Brexit in the first place. But what is going on? All right. Checking in at
number four.
So here's Mitch McConnell on Capitol Hill today responding to the threats in the Senate by Senate Republicans, his fellow Senate Republicans, to try to create a veto-proof majority so that the Trump tariffs against Mexico can't go through, because that's going to be really bad, especially for farmers who sell all of this product into Mexico, and also food manufacturers who buy all the product from Mexico.
Well, there is not much support in my conference for tariffs, that's for sure. I think it's safe to say you've talked to all of our members. We're not fans of tariffs. We're still hoping that this can be avoided.
Now, that's a very, very brave man right there, isn't it? And then right after that, he receded his head back into his collar.
Interesting they're drawing the line here, though. I mean, you haven't seen them draw the Senate Republicans or the House Republicans, for that matter.
It's not really a line, though. That was very wishy-washy.
It was wishy-washy, but I think they are hearing it from people back home when it comes to these tariffs. And I think that's going to be a problem, because they will have to ultimately do something if they're getting pressure
from their constituents. I think it's also important to note that there was a big, I believe it's Washington Post story, about Elaine Chao, his wife, who is actually benefiting, her family is benefiting from some of the pressure that he's putting on China. So it's like, that's in and of itself.
It's a little bit of doublespeak.
Yes, a pretty, this is just, you talk about swampiness. This is as swampy as it gets. And the president's just playing into the swampidity of all of this. That's a term, by the way, a technical term. All right, we'll get to your 3-2-1. But first, Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Then there's this. Power-happy Colorado's ready to rock Wrigley, but they might have met their long ball match in the Northsiders. Cubs-Rockies Wednesday at 7 on WGN-TV.
Congratulations to Paul from Darien.
Congrats. Awesome.
He might enjoy some pucking in Prague. Think about that.
Oh, gosh.
No, really?
Pucks and Prague. That's the name of it.
Trip of a lifetime.
It is the trip of a lifetime, and he's qualified now. He's one of the few qualified.
Well, it's pretty huge.
Plus, he also gets all that really cool swag as well, and he'll see us maybe at the convention.
Nice. Yeah. Congrats, Paul.
Thank you. All right. Are we ready to continue on here?
I don't know if we should really.
Number three.
Alderman Ed Burke was in court today saying he didn't do it. He was arraigned on federal racketeering and bribery charges, where he said, hey, listen, this is how they, no. But then Lori Lightfoot, she's the mayor, she continued to ramp up the pressure on Burke to quit.
I don't know how he can properly function with integrity, which he will need, and moral authority to do the work for the residents of the 14th Ward when he's got a very serious federal indictment now hanging over his head.
I have not had any response from Alderman Burke, and I don't really expect to, but I think this day is just as sad as when we found out about the multi-count superseding indictment against him.
So far, she says she has not heard back from Alderman Burke.
Right.
Since calling for him to step down.
He hasn't heard back. Yeah. He's going to get right on that.
I don't think he's going to be calling her back, and doesn't seem like he's resigning.
Yeah. Wow. Soon. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Stephen Colbert had his own thoughts on Queen Elizabeth exchanging gifts with Donald Trump.
Oh. Then there was a traditional exchange of gifts. Queen Elizabeth gave Trump a first edition copy of Churchill's World War II book. Look, thank you so much, but don't tell me how it ends, all right? I really like that German Charlie Chaplin who invented the high five. Really, I forget his name.
What?
Did you hear the story about how they were the Queen was taking them through the royal gift shop or whatever it was, and they were and the Queen goes, don't you remember this?
And of course you know this item is
right.
What she said.
It was like a statue of something or another, and he's like, no, got no idea.
Don't
and
Melania, recognize it.
Melania had to jump in and go, we give to you last year.
That was gift to you last year.
Donald, we give the gift to Queen Lady right over here.
He forgot. He had probably no interest in ever knowing.
I don't think. Yeah, I got briefed on it.
Whoops.
Yes, we get to little lady. We give her before.
Number one.
All right, this is like a News or Ruse headline. A Florida man called 911 to brag about fleeing a traffic stop. 19-year-old was at Nicholas Jones in a traffic stop. He burned rubber to get away, then called 911.
Oh, wow.
And said, why haven't you caught me yet?
911, where's my station?
Yeah, I want to know, so, like, I like, ran from a cop, like, 30 minutes or an hour ago. I was the guy who, over there off of Kings Estate. Like, what do we pay you guys for? Like, I've driven past four cops.
What do you mean you ran from a cop?
I mean, he turned his lights on me and got behind me, and as he was walking up to my door, I did a donut around him and left.
Oh, okay.
They can trace calls, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that's possible.
Yeah. I mean, he put an APB out or has someone looking for my car. But, like, he definitely got the plate number. But
okay.
He, like, okay. I've passed, like, four cops just driving around. Like, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're working on mini calls, sir.
Okay. Wait, you don't have to answer the question.
No, you don't.
You do not have to answer the question.
How about what's your name? What's your phone number? Where do you live?
Yeah.
And where's your car currently parked?
Yeah. Did they ever catch the guy?
I don't know if we
He's been arrested.
Follow-up.
All right.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, come on. He asked for it.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, that is a level of jaggery that is so seldom seen. That is gold medal jaggery right there.
Totally.
It's the very top.
Right.
Hall of Fame jaggery.
Hall of Fame.
See the looks on his parents' faces after that whole call was revealed.
He's 19.
Right. What is wrong with you people? Talk about entitled, like, you know, millennials, or not even millennials, but that guy's a Gen whatever it
Zier.
Is. Gen Z, yeah. Oh, she's on the radio, isn't she? Or a podcast or something. All right. You know what we got to do? It's time to say goodnight. That's what we're going to do. Good night. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
The top five at five.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.